Hello, and welcome to The Complete History of Science. Series 5, Episode 2, Regiomontanus and the Revival of Astronomy in the West. Copernicus's publication of On the Revolution of the Heavenly Spheres in 1543 marks the point where astronomy finally broke with Ptolemy. Prior to the 15th century, Islamic astronomy had dominated, making many theoretical and observational advances. Astronomers in the East, while working within a Ptolemaic framework, frequently challenged the Almagest's empirical claims, as well as its underlying models. During the translation movement, much of this work made its way to the West, creating a new astronomical culture, which would eventually bloom into the Copernican Revolution. The seeds for this change were planted in the 15th century, as European astronomy caught up with the East. Naturally, this movement was the work of many people, but perhaps the most important figure of this period was the man called Regiomontanus. Regiomontanus was a mathematical prodigy. Early in his life, he acquired a calendar from the workshop of Johannes Gutenberg, the first printed calendar in Europe. As was customary at the time, it included not just the dates, but also the phases of the moon and the planetary positions. During its production, Gutenberg must have consulted some of the best astronomers of the day, who would have performed all of the necessary calculations. But Regiomontanus, who was just 11 years old, wasn't satisfied to take Gutenberg's word, and set out to check the calendar's data for himself. Planetary positions were found by consulting lists of tables, with the most advanced at the time being the Alphonsine tables, constructed under the patronage of Alfonso X of Castile, one of the new Christian rulers in Spain. These tables were based on Ptolemy's models from the Almagest, and assumed the planets orbited on small paths called epicycles, which were themselves carried along on larger circles called deferents. To check Gutenberg's work, Regiomontanus used a set of tables to look up the position of the epicycle along the deferent, and then used another table to find the position of the planet along the epicycle. Through trigonometry, Regiomontanus would have combined these values to calculate the final positions of the planets, which he wrote down in a book called an almanac. Gutenberg's calendar provided the planetary positions every 15 days. By contrast, Regiomontanus calculated the planetary positions for every day for the years 1448 to 1451. This was in itself an impressive feat, as it required a significant amount of calculation. But as it turned out, Regiomontanus's computations were also more accurate than those provided by Gutenberg. Regiomontanus, then, was a precocious astronomer, but this anecdote also foreshadows another important aspect of his career. On the one hand, Regiomontanus would become the greatest European astronomer of the period, but it was his adoption of printing which marked him as arguably the key figure in 15th century science. Regiomontanus was born Johannes Müller in Bavaria in 1436. The name Regiomontanus is a Latinization of his place of birth, Königsberg, which means King's Mountain. At around the time he was calculating his almanac, he moved away from Königsberg to university in Leipzig. Likely, his mathematical ability meant that at 11, he had already advanced beyond what the local schools could offer. However, if he was expecting advanced instruction in astronomy in Leipzig, he would be disappointed. Any lessons he did receive in astronomy were probably based on Sacrobosco's textbook The Sphere, which contained only a very basic overview, with, for example, virtually no planetary astronomy. Perhaps if he was fortunate, he may have heard lectures from another textbook, The Theory of Planets. This contained a brief synopsis of Ptolemy's planetary models, but gave little detail about how they were derived. The tables, which Regiomontanus used to create his almanac, were based on Ptolemy's models, but these lectures would have done little to explain the theories behind the tables. In the early 1450s, Regiomontanus moved from Leipzig to Vienna, which was among the leading cities in Europe at the time, for the study of astronomy. In the 14th century, many universities had been founded, creating new chairs in mathematics and astronomy, and they often competed to attract the best masters. Henri of Langenstein was one of these masters, moving from the grand old University of Paris to the relatively new University in Vienna. Henri, unlike many of his contemporaries, was intimately familiar with the Almagest and with elements of Islamic astronomy. In particular, he was influenced by the Andalusian astronomers, with whom he shared the belief that models of the cosmos should have a physical basis. He disliked both the equant and the epicycles used in the Almagest, believing that they undermined Aristotelian principles. Henri was also one of the first men in Europe to begin taking his own astronomical observations. On arriving in Vienna, he measured its latitude using the altitude of the sun, and calculated the time difference between Paris and Vienna using his own lunar observations. Following Henri, another scholar, John of Gmunden, taught astronomy in Vienna. He gave lectures on astronomical instruments, such as the astrolabe and the quadrant, as well as the use of planetary tables. By the time Regiomontanus arrived in Vienna, both Henri and John were dead, but nevertheless, they left a rich legacy. In Vienna, it wouldn't be a master that would have the greatest impact on Regiomontanus, but a fellow student. Jörg von Peuerbach was around a decade older than Regiomontanus, and wouldn't graduate for another couple of years. Initially, Peuerbach had been interested in Latin literature, but at some point during his years in Vienna, he became interested in astronomy, and began making his own astronomical observations. Peuerbach was first acquainted with Regiomontanus during a series of lectures he delivered on Ptolemaic astronomy. In these lectures, he gave a thorough overview of the planetary models of Ptolemy, while also emphasizing his concerns for the physical basis of these models. These lectures were praised for their clear diagrams and organization, and copies of notes made during these talks were widely distributed. Regiomontanus took his own set of notes. Peuerbach earned little from his lecturing on astronomy, and so supported himself by working as the court astrologer for the teenage king, Ladislav V, writing horoscopes for the royal family. The practice of astronomy had been linked to astrology since ancient times, though its popularity had waxed and waned. During the intervening centuries, it was frequently attacked by influential churchmen such as St. Augustine, who believe it undermined the Christian doctrine of free will. During the late medieval period, however, astrology was undergoing a resurgence, and it formed a strong link with medicine. It also benefited from the new wave of men trained in using planetary tables. Those who could write planetary almanacs, such as the one calculated by the 11-year-old Regiomontanus, were in great demand and could earn a good living. Nevertheless, Regiomontanus and Peuerbach were both quite ambivalent about its practice. During the appearance of the comet of 1456, the two men began to work together to take observations. While Europe's astrologers were sent into a tailspin, prognosticating on great future events, Regiomontanus and Peuerbach were happy to take measurements of the comet's size and position. In 1458, Regiomontanus graduated as a master and began lecturing, not on astronomy, but on Euclid's optics. That same year, King Ladislav V died, leaving Peuerbach without a patron. Fortunately for both men, they soon found a benefactor who would offer them a great new opportunity. Cardinal Bessarion was a Byzantine Greek who in his youth had moved to Italy and joined the Catholic Church. He was part of a new movement which sought to revive interest in the great works of antiquity. In 1453, Constantinople had fallen to the Turks, and Bessarion, like many of his Greek compatriots in the West, was concerned that ancient Greek texts might be lost. In reaction to this, Bessarion led a small circle of scholars who were interested in making new translations directly from Greek. In 1460, Bessarion visited Vienna as part of an unsuccessful campaign to launch a new crusade against the Turks. In Vienna, he met Peuerbach and must have been thrilled to meet an expert in the Almagest, asking him to make a new translation. Originally, Bessarion had asked one of his countrymen, George of Trebizond, to make a translation of the Almagest. However, George was not an astronomer, and the completed work caused a rift between the two men. Bessarion accused George of producing a terrible translation and used his influence within the Vatican to attack George. The Pope agreed with Bessarion's assessment and ordered George to leave Rome. Peuerbach was an interesting choice to translate the Almagest, given that he was not fluent in Greek. However, he was an expert in the Almagest and knew Gerard of Cremona's Arabic translation, word for word. He also had access to George's Greek translation, and so set about producing a new work intended to summarise and clarify Ptolemy's dense masterpiece. With the support of Regiomontanus, he made rapid progress, completing the first six books by the start of 1461. Unfortunately, that year, at the age of 37, Peuerbach fell ill and died. On his deathbed, he made Regiomontanus promise to complete the work. As Bessarion was returning to Rome, he invited Regiomontanus to join him as part of his retinue. Regiomontanus spent the next year in Rome, working with renewed vigour, and by the end of 1462, he completed the book, making good on his promise to Peuerbach. The completed work, called the Epitome of the Almagest, was at the time the most comprehensive and sophisticated piece of mathematical astronomy completed in Latin. Following a similar structure to Ptolemy, Regiomontanus and Peuerbach arranged the work as a series of books, dealing in turn with the motions of each of the celestial objects. The Epitome was also strongly influenced by Euclid, with the work arranged as a series of propositions, followed by rigorous proofs. These proofs had existed in the Almagest, but they were clumsy and poorly organised. Regiomontanus used new mathematical devices, such as the sine function, which makes the proofs significantly easier to follow. Throughout the work, Regiomontanus casts a critical eye on Ptolemy. For example, he was aware the Almagest had implied that over the course of a month, the moon's diameter would vary, appearing at some points to be twice as large. George of Trebizond had claimed in his translation that this was really the case, earning him a strong rebuke from Regiomontanus, who called him a most shameless and vicious windbag. George was no astronomer, while Regiomontanus was a keen observer of the night sky, who saw with his own eyes the clear discrepancies between his observations and Ptolemy's predictions. As early as 1458, Regiomontanus, working with Peuerbach, measured the position of Mars and noted the inconsistency with calculations based on the Almagest. After Peuerbach's death, he corresponded with another astronomer, Giovanni Bianchini, stating that the calculated position of Mars, Venus, Mercury and the Moon did not agree with observations. In the years following the completion of the Epitome, he continued to make observations, using the timing of planetary conjunctions and lunar eclipses as further tests of reliability. The eclipse, for example, was deemed to be as much as an hour out from that predicted by Ptolemy. In writing the Epitome, Regiomontanus was highly aware of these inconsistencies, but wouldn't attempt any serious revision, concluding that Ptolemy's ideas were simply the best available. In the following years, Regiomontanus, supported by Bessarion, travelled Italy, collecting and translating scientific works. He read Archimedes and admired him greatly, recognizing the timeless quality of his work. In 1464, he gave a series of lectures in Padua on the history of astronomy, in which he demonstrated impressive knowledge of his forebears. Starting with Hipparchus, whom he called the father of astronomy, he moves on through Ptolemy, the crown prince, to the great Arab astronomers such as Al-Battani, whose observations he had used in constructing the Epitome. However, during these years, Regiomontanus became unsatisfied with his role. Rome was in the middle of an artistic and cultural renaissance, but there was little regard for astronomy. The humanists, led by Bessarion, were experts in antique literature, but would have struggled to converse about astronomy with Regiomontanus in any depth. Since the death of Peuerbach, Regiomontanus had no peer, and even fellow astronomers like Bianchini likely struggled to keep up with him. In 1467, he left Rome, spending the next year in Hungary, where he compiled a new set of astronomical tables for the Hungarian king. Regiomontanus stayed until 1471, before travelling on to Nuremberg. He chose Nuremberg as it had a deserved reputation as a centre for skilled craftsmen who were capable of constructing accurate astronomical instruments. Regiomontanus, after a decade wandering, planned to settle here and conduct a great new programme of observations. Frustrated by the inconsistencies he had observed, his intention was to revise the parameters of Ptolemy's models and construct planetary tables of unparalleled accuracy. To aid him, he recruited an apprentice, Bernard Walther, who would become his greatest student. The assistance provided by Walther was particularly important, as Regiomontanus had another project in mind when he arrived in Nuremberg. In his years spent reading manuscripts for Bessarion, he became concerned with the discrepancies between different copies. As these manuscripts were all handwritten, errors crept in, which multiplied as they were themselves copied. In response, he intended to set up a print shop in Nuremberg as a way to ensure consistency and expand the reach of these works. This was already an ambitious goal, as a print shop was still an expensive endeavour. Even more, Regiomontanus aimed to specialise in scientific and technical works, which greatly increased the complexity of the task. Previously, printed editions of technical works, such as Sacrobosco's The Sphere and The Theory of Planets, had included empty space where the illustrations should be. Regiomontanus aimed to improve on this by hiring woodcut artists who would carve the diagrams. Nuremberg was again the ideal location to find such craftsmen, and Regiomontanus recruited a specially trained staff. Regiomontanus' workshop printed its first book in 1472, and fittingly, it was based on the work of his old friend Peuerbach. Using the notes from the lectures Peuerbach had delivered back in 1454, Regiomontanus created a new text on planetary motion. He published it as The New Theory of Planets, generously crediting Peuerbach as the author and only mentioning himself as the printer. The print run was successful and motivated Regiomontanus to write to the universities with a list of new titles he intended to publish. Amongst these promised works were a new translation of the Almagest, Euclid's Elements, Gerard's translations of Archimedes, Ptolemy's Optics, as well as the mathematical works of Apollonius. But his next printed work was a calendar, similar to the one he had owned from Gutenberg's printing press 24 years previously. Naturally, his calendar superseded all previous attempts. Based on his own observations and calculations, he provided times of the new and full moons, the solar and lunar paths, the length of days, as well as a table to convert these numbers for locations other than Nuremberg. The calendar included these calculations, not just for 1 year, but for the next 57 years. The calendar also included extensive sections of ecclesiastical information, pointing out errors in the calculation of feast days, especially Easter. These errors had been known previously, but in publishing such a detailed critique, Regiomontanus, perhaps unwittingly, placed himself at the centre of the debate on calendar reform. Regiomontanus followed up his calendar with an even more detailed set of calculations, published in a work known as the Ephemerides, an enormous new almanac of celestial positions. These were innovative, giving the relative positions between the celestial bodies, and hence making it simple to see the times of conjunctions, occultations, or eclipses. This had clear appeal to astrologers, for whom these celestial events were a key aspect of casting horoscopes. The Ephemerides required an enormous number of calculations, all done by hand, and when it was published, it ran to 896 pages. The work sold successfully, however, and turned out to be useful to more than just astrologers. One famous story goes that in 1504, on his fourth voyage to the Americas, Christopher Columbus ran into trouble. Stranded on the north coast of Jamaica, his provisions were running low, and the locals, probably justifiably, were becoming tired of him and so refused to share food. Columbus, however, had carried a copy of the Ephemerides on the voyage with him, and realised it predicted a lunar eclipse on the night of the 29th of February. Meeting the local chieftain, Columbus warned him of the powerful Christian god who would block out the moon should he be displeased. Supposedly, on seeing the moon disappear, the locals relented and supplied Columbus's ships for the next 6 months until they were rescued. The truth of this story is uncertain, but what we do know is that Columbus certainly did use Regiomontanus's almanac. An ancient problem which affected seafarers was determining longitude at sea. While latitude could easily be calculated from the altitude of the sun or pole star, it was much more difficult to ascertain how far east or west from port a ship had travelled. On arriving in the Caribbean, Columbus had no good way to determine how far he had sailed from his home port of Cadiz. One suggestion, which dated back to Hipparchus, was to use the timings of a lunar eclipse. Regiomontanus had included the time of the lunar eclipse in Nuremberg. All Columbus would need to do then is to work out the local time of the lunar eclipse, and the difference would allow a simple calculation of the difference in longitude. Time reckoning in this period was difficult, but it turns out that Columbus's observations were actually good. He observed two eclipses, one in 1494 and the other in 1504, and in each case was within half an hour of the true value. Unfortunately, his calculations for the longitude were off, as Columbus imagined that the zero point was taken in Cadiz rather than Nuremberg. Regardless, this measurement gave at least a ballpark figure for the difference in longitude and demonstrates the value of the Ephemerides in practical astronomy. Regiomontanus spent the year 1475 observing the sky and preparing new works for printing, but his busy schedule was interrupted by a letter from Rome, where discussions had opened up around calendar reform. Partially due to his reputation with Bessarion, and partially due to his own calendar, Regiomontanus had a reputation as an expert in astronomy and was asked to attend deliberations. He was unhappy at the request, preferring to stay in Nuremberg, but the power of the papacy was too much to resist. On his arrival, Regiomontanus consulted on the issue, but the glacially slow bureaucracy of the Vatican meant little progress was made. In the meantime, he met a new astronomer, Domenico Maria Novara, 18 years his junior. Later, Novara would call Regiomontanus his teacher, and they would likely have discussed the inconsistencies between observations and Ptolemy's theories. In one of the few known works by Navarra, he discussed the possibility that changes in the Earth's axis over time were responsible for some of these differences. This working partnership, however, was not to last, as within a year, Regiomontanus was dead. Rumours circulated not long after his death that he had been poisoned by the sons of George of Trebizond, but there's no basis for this, and more likely, he simply became ill. That year, the banks of the Tiber were overflowing, and the city was engulfed in disease. Regiomontanus was 40 years old when he died, only 3 years older than his great friend Peuerbach had been. Without family in Nuremberg, all of his possessions went to the city, and his printing press was sold off. Regardless, Regiomontanus left an immense legacy. His program of observations was continued by his assistant Walter, who would make measurements between 1475 and 1504, by far the most substantial program of its kind since the Islamic Golden Age. As a printer, Regiomontanus also demonstrated the substantial market for technical works, and new print shops meeting this demand opened across Europe, with Nuremberg continuing as one of the most important centres. Regiomontanus's own great work, The Epitome of the Almagest, never published during his lifetime, was finally printed in 1496. It proved to be a popular textbook, circulating widely through multiple editions, and became the gateway to astronomy for many Europeans over the next century, including one budding young astronomer from Poland.